episode 80 in a limited series of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Limited series.
Well, so limited, this is the last one.
It's a throwback to the old Transformers comic book series where it was only supposed to run 4 issues, right? And it said number one in a 4-issue limited series. And it ran 80. So the very last issue of the Transformers, it said number 80 in a 4-issue limited series.
That's awesome.
That's kind of cool. But yes, this is the final episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. The final episode.
Final episode. Well, it's the final countdown.
The final episode in the format that we are currently in.
Correct.
I'm sorry if I scared anyone there for a moment.
We are not signing off for good.
No.
It won't be that
the
easy.
The rumors of our demise are not true. And we're doing something different. We're recording outside. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, it's nice and chilly out.
And I'm waiting for Frank to complain. Cool, because he's like an old man.
Actually, I like this pretty nice. You
know? Yeah, it's pretty nice.
So there might be some cars, some ambience going by. You know,
yeah.
Ambience? Are there sirens on?
No. Ambience. Like, you know, just the...
I know what you meant.
You know what we mean.
Ambiance. Is that more French for you?
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
French. Yeah, man. It's a French-ass word.
Piss off French people, man.
And, French fries.
Oh, you have made fun of my word.
But it is the 80th episode and the last episode in the current volume of the Rebel Radio Podcast. That still will always be found at TrustMeAmAJay.com. And we're going to talk a little bit more in the show, but we're rebooting, basically. We're going to do a new format in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So more about that later. But we've got some things to talk about today. This is, of course, Mark.
This is Matt.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And we are all hanging out on this wintry day in Houston. Well, about as wintry as we get.
Yeah, it's about.
More wintry than this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what's been going on?
Well, you know, just stuff. You know, a few movies that came out.
Just a few movies, yeah.
Yeah.
A little movie with some light swords and stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah. Pew, pew.
Things that we call Christmas.
I have watched a few new things, though, besides movies in theater. I saw parts of the Lego Ninjago movie. It didn't look very good. I didn't really pay attention.
It's not really good.
It looked kind of lame.
And kids like it. That's all that matters.
I took Jake to go see it.
I watched Dunkirk, which was excellent.
Drunkirk.
Yeah.
No.
You don't make fun of war movies. That's not fun.
See, I don't know, man.
People say Saving Ryan's Private all the time, Mark.
But
you can't.
But it's a statue, though. It's movies not a
while. I don't know, man. It's like getting into war movies. It's been a while since I could get a war movie because I realized that, you know, these were real people at one time dealing with that. So it's like watching it on a screen just like.
Well, that's the point. It's historical things that have happened. There's nothing wrong being entertained by it. You're not supposed to feel for these people. Well, you are supposed to feel for these people, but you're not supposed to feel for these people as like, oh, this is based on someone's lives. Believe me, those men want these stories told.
Yep.
Believe me, more than you think they do. And that's why these movies are made. It's part of our world, part of our history, and it deserves to be told. And I don't see an issue with watching a war movie because, oh, it's someone's real life. You know, I mean... So it was Black Hawk Down. We had a movie of that, and that's current.
That's true.
And that's more current war. You know, these are stories that are to be told and be... Is historified a word? We're going to make it a word if it isn't. Historified.
Historified. You
know, historically portrayed for future generations. Maybe that's a good word.
It's not so much a story. It's the amount of blood and gore that they pour into these movies nowadays. I don't need to see a soldier's guts hanging out.
Because there's almost no blood in Dunkirk.
Well, I didn't see it, so I'm just saying. Sorry. That's why one of the reasons I wasn't sure how it was.
Are you just shooting from the hip, Frank?
Basically, you have no argument.
He's shooting from the hip.
He has no argument.
I'm just saying, hey, I might watch it
now. You're the worst gunfighter in history. You're like, I'm just shooting from the hip.
No. Luke hit a lot of stormtroopers practically shooting from the hip.
You're talking about Han. Possibly.
That too.
It could be Nolan's best work. That's saying a lot because he's done some good films.
Yeah,
and it's
like
really...
better than Dark Knight.
The wife didn't like it as much. She found it a little boring. But I also think she wasn't as engaging as I was. You have to really follow it, and it's a solidly done film. I can see why it's getting award buzz as we inch closer to Oscar season and things like that. That's about all I've watched. And I've watched some of The Punisher, and then
yes.
Frank and I don't know if you watched it, The Toys That Made Us.
No, I have not watched it.
Oh, it's good.
On Netflix.
I enjoyed it so much.
Only 4 episodes right now, but there's 4 more coming in the next few months.
I will admit, I was a total dude and skipped the Barbie episode.
And then if they get to season 2, we'll get more. The first 4 episodes are Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man, and G.I. Joe. And the next 4 are going to be Hello Kitty, Transformers, Star Trek, and Lego.
Nice.
So, really well done documentary series on toys that we grew up with. The Star Wars episode, for me, was Lost if I knew already, but
it was still pretty good.
Fun to watch. You know, and I actually enjoyed the He-Man episode. And my only problem with the He-Man episode is they focus a little too much on that company. Something seven, I can't remember the name of it. That
the one that brought it back to life.
Back He-Man, and they totally they ignored the fact that Mattel was making collector's item He-Man things for years,
mm-hmm.
and they just sort of made it sound like that new company brought it back to life. And I was like, oh, they kind of cheated Mattel there.
Yeah,
I mean, He-Man really never went anywhere.
No,
yeah. So that
well,
was,
no, they're just saying that they brought it more to the collectors, like, well, out in the mainstream.
That's the thing I'm saying. They
like,
didn't.
You're a collector, but...
But they didn't. The Mattel fan club had been making collector's items classics for years.
Right, right. What I'm saying is, okay, for, like, you're, let's say, a Mattel collector fan. Matt and I might have not known shit about it. And then all of a sudden, this other company steps in and does this other stuff, and now all of a sudden, Matt and I are interested in it.
But,
is what I'm saying.
But still, though, with the internet since the 90s, anyone who's anybody could figure out Mattel was making the He-Man stuff. So I think they cheated Mattel on that part.
Yeah, a little
bit. Documentary, though. You know, that was my only thing beef with it. But it's a good show so far. I hope they get a second season. You know, I'd like to see. There's so much out there they could do.
A lot of toys.
Planet of the Apes. The Superman. You got to do superpowers from DC in the 80s. Batman. You could do an episode on Batman. You know, it's had a huge story.
Connects.
The Marvel superheroes figures from the 80s.
How surprised they won't do one about the Power Rangers.
Oh, Power Rangers.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles is a huge
easily.
Ball. Oh, you could easily... I don't know if it's a show that could go on for seasons, but...
At least another
20 solid episodes, easily. You could do 20 to 25 solid episodes and have enough toys to not run out, you know, of a show like that.
I know one thing. Watching the G.I. Joe... Yeah, I was more of a G.I. Joe kid than I was a Star Wars kid. You know, even though like Star Wars started off, no, I like the posable action figures. I like the fact that there was like so many different variants of some of the same characters, but so many other characters.
Talking about the 3-inch figures.
Just your normal, your three and a quarter, whatever size figures.
Those were fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. I like the fact that, you know, they had all the different poses, different weapon layouts, you know, four or five different snake eyes.
Depends on how you punched out those weapons. You could accidentally punch out the little connectors in between them and make some cool little weird weapon. You know that,
I was more of a G.I. Joe kid.
Yeah.
Matt trying to get dirty over here with weapons and stuff. See that
dirty
on your face. Mark's even looking at you with the look on your face.
I'm not sure what either one of y'all are really talking about. I stopped listening for a minute.
I just toned y'all out.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I'll just wait for like their lips to stop moving, and then I'll realize they stopped talking.
So, being that this is our final episode of the current format of the show, we're going to talk in a little while great showdowns in film history. And because, you know, sometimes you'll have a saga of movies, and, you know, it all will come down to one moment or one drastic battle and stuff. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, but first we're going to talk a middle part of the saga that is currently playing in theaters. It's the middle part of the new Star Wars trilogy, of course, the sequel trilogy to the original trilogy that we grew up. And there's lots of trilogies. We're all confused. There's
yes.
The prequels, the originals, the sequels. But
these and that.
For those that are a little behind on the times, these new films being made by Disney, starting with The Force Awakens, are sequels to Return
no,
of the
Jedi. No, they're not being sequel. Made by Disney. They're made by Lucas... Entertainment. Yes, they're made by Lucas. Yes, let's get that straight, because everybody's bitching and moaning and crying at Disney. Disney's not making them. Lucas...
Well, Disney's distributing them.
Exactly. That's like bitching and crying at 20th Century of Fox about, you know, the prequels.
Well, I could say something there. That
yeah.
20th Century Fox had a little more to do with the prequels than Disney's maybe having to do it. Because Rick McCollum...
But still, my point was, it's Lucas films, not Lucas himself.
George Lucas has
not George Lucas himself, but.
But either way, that really didn't matter. The point is, people know that Disney, you know, and that these new films take place after Return of the Jedi, starting The Force Awakens and the new film, The Last Jedi. Rogue One, people, has nothing to do with it. Because I actually had someone say that to me, like, well, how did Rogue One tie with all? I just looked at him like,
It is a Star Wars anthology film.
You're a dumbass. First off, it takes place before New Hope, and has nothing to do with the other two films that have been out since 2015.
Right.
And he just stared into space. So.
I'll ask for a name afterwards.
I don't remember now. It was some vendor. I actually don't remember.
Weird.
But just people are fucking stupid. You know, it's like they don't pay attention.
Yeah.
So, The Last Jedi is in theaters right now, and a bit of a divided world, it seems, amongst Star Wars fans with this film. And I think a lot of it hinges from because it's not what you expect. And by the way, we're going full spoiler on this. So I'm
yes.
not going to give you a warning. The movie's been out 2 weeks now. If you're diehard enough, you've seen it already.
Technically, it'll be three by the time we air this.
Almost.
Huh?
Right?
Three? Well, it's already two. It, yeah, by the time
you... Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
It's just gonna be practical and everything.
It's like, well, technically, in dog years, it's been out for 5 weeks. Yeah.
And technically, Matt's gay, though he's married. So, I mean, what's the difference?
A lot of gay married men to women, you know. It's just a cover-up.
Editor's note, Matt's not really gay. Don't call and ask
for his number. What, he's not happy? You're not happy, man?
I'm happy.
I just want to do is ask him for his number, you know. How do we explain that to
him? I don't give it to him, too. That's a sad thing.
Somewhere okay, here you go. 254-7535. I don't even know what that is.
That's Frank's number.
But my first impressions of The Last Jedi walking out of the theater was kind of... Like, what did I watch? It was a lot to take
in. Yeah.
It's probably the most complex film they've ever done. And it's funny because back months ago, I knew it. I knew that Rian Johnson was going to give us something that we didn't expect. Just from knowing his previous work on Looper and Brick, the things he's done, that he's not your conventional director as far as a Star Wars film goes. He wasn't going to play it safe and close to the chest, so to speak, like J.J. Abrams did. He was going to do something a little bit different. And I think people are mad about this mostly because they walked into it expecting safe and close to the chest, similar to J.J. Abrams, and that's not what they got. Does that make the film bad? No, absolutely not. It just makes it not what you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And the divide seems to be a lot of older Star Wars fans because they're so jaded that this is what they want, and they have their own ideas of what this is, how it should be, and it shouldn't be changed. That they're not happy with what Johnson has done to Star Wars. And really, did he do anything all that bad? No, he simply put Star Wars in a new direction for future generations because you can't keep making movies based on old characters. Otherwise, Star Wars becomes Star Trek, where you keep trying to live in the past and not able to move forward. And it's a good point.
I see that.
And the more I had a chance to read things about the film after I saw it, I looked at things differently. Is it a perfect Star Wars film? No. Like, I'm not sure about the whole casino scene. I get why they did it, trying to make Ben and Rose's characters closer, but it's more just it's kind of long, the casino scene, and it doesn't add that much to the plot. You know, that's probably my only beef with the film is that scene. I like Luke's story arc. I like where they went with it.
You could take that whole casino scene out, and it wouldn't make a difference to the movie.
Right.
I totally hated the Luke storyline.
Why, though? Did you hate it because it's not what you expect?
No.
Well, Mark Hamill is on the side of the person that disagrees with the Luke storyline. He says it's not his Luke Skywalker.
Can I
agree.
Okay.
And you might have my point.
Here's where I have a problem with the Luke. Because it's not Luke.
Exactly.
It's not the Luke that... And here's why it's not the Luke. We know to be Luke. Luke, a young kid, sees this princess that needs to be saved.
Stands in front of the Emperor,
sees a princess that needs to be saved, goes and seeks out old Ben Kenobi. They hire a bounty, smuggler, to take them to save her. Then he takes on the Empire, destroys the Death Star, fights. Then
we all know the story is called.
Continues on. But what I'm saying, he fights.
Is this the same Luke Skywalker?
He fights the Skywalker. Hang on.
Yeah, yeah.
He keeps fighting. He stands up and finds out who his dad is. Doesn't faze him because now he's going to confront his dad in front of the Emperor and everything with little training. He had some training, but not a lot of training, but it didn't matter. He was going to stand up and fight. And now with the little little incident with his nephew. Now he just wants to be left alone. He doesn't give a shit about the rebellion. He doesn't care a crap about his sister. He doesn't care about nothing. He just wants to be left alone because he had a little incident with his nephew. He just doesn't give
him anybody.
No, he did. He left a map to find him, and then when Ray shows up, he says, "Go away! I don't want to be bothered. I don't want nobody bothering me." Then why did you leave a freaking map to where you're at if you don't want to be bothered? It made no sense. It was like one person writes one script, and then he leaves off, and somebody else comes along and just says, "I don't really know where you were going with this, but I'm going to go here with it." And that's what happened. J.J. Abrams didn't say like, "Oh, this is where I was planning on going with the Luke character, and this is why he left the map and all that." And the other guy's just like, "I have no clue of what you're doing, so I'm just going to go here with Luke." And Luke doesn't give a shit anymore and is a bitch. But then I realized that's what Jedi Masters do. They run away.
And the Old Republic?
They run away. And if they're outmanned, outnumbered, they run away.
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Yoda ran away. Ran and head off in the Dagobah system. Obi-Wan.
Yoda ran away.
Yeah, Yoda had to.
They run away. Why didn't some of the
exile?
Why didn't some of them
ran away? They had to hide.
I mean, it was Order 66.
It doesn't matter. The Jedi were supposed to save people. They were there to be the bright hope and everything, but they ran away. I realize unless they can fight two or one. No, because they're cowards.
They confront
the Emperor. They took, what, five or six of them to confront him? They all got their ass kicked. And every scene, pretty much every Jedi got their butt kicked.
They're
cowards. Really off the bat.
Yeah. This is
I see why Luke ran away.
No.
And you're told
it was off character from the actual Luke character, but it's not off character for the Jedi characters.
You're not reading it the right way. First off, no one ran.
He ran.
Obi-Wan and Yoda had to hide because of Order 66. They had no choice.
I thought the temple was on that same island.
They would have been killed if they didn't hide. They didn't run from anything. The Republic was destroyed. The Empire was taking over. They had to hide. Did you not watch the prequels?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
They had to hide. They had no choice. The Republic was decimated at the end of episode.
And they could have still supported the Republic, but they hid.
Did you not hear what Bail Organa said? He said, "We'll take the girl. We'll go into hiding until it's time to reconvene."
Yeah. He was just waiting to the right time.
When's the right time? Never, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, they destroyed the Death Star. What are you talking about?
Rebels? As they've reformed the Rebellion and all that? I mean, I don't understand what movie you watched here.
I wouldn't say
I'm talking about currently.
And then Luke didn't run and hide?
Yeah, he did.
He did go into exile. He failed.
He felt that he failed his student.
It was more of a failure thing, and he lost his contract.
And then he also knew what was going on with the New Order, and he chose to not help. He even told Rey, "Go away. I don't want to help. I don't care. Go away." And if it wasn't for his persistence, she would have just gotten back into the Falcon, took off, and it would have been the end of it.
But he also, though, didn't really know how bad it had gotten.
Yeah. But he didn't care.
He does listen. Did you not watch The Last Jedi?
He started caring.
He started listening to her and talking to her. He didn't know what was going on. He had no idea. He didn't even know that Han had died.
Now, Mark Hamill did say that his Luke Skywalker would have not gone to that planet. His Luke Skywalker would have found a way to move on and help and overcome it. And that's kind of like where I am. Okay. I feel like this isn't the same Luke that stood in front of Darth Sidious.
That's what I'm saying. He ran away.
Exactly the problem everyone's having in the movie. Y'all are not liking it because it's not what y'all wanted it to be.
No, it's not Luke. It's out of character for Luke.
It's not the movie y'all wanted it to be.
Right. It's not about the movie I wanted it to be. It's about the character. Everything else I didn't have a problem with. It was the out of character of the character for Luke Skywalker.
Why is it out of character? What do we know about Luke?
Because he was brave. He was a fighter. Now he ran away.
How do we know it's out of character in the 30 years since Return of Jedi? How do we know that? It's not what you want it to be, so you don't like it.
It's hard for me to accept.
No, I don't hate the movie. Actually, I thought the shiny part of the whole damn movie was Poe's character.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the milk.
But again, y'all are both not liking it. Exactly the reasons everyone else not liking it. Because it's not what
you want. Is that organic?
Okay? I don't know.
And that's exactly where I like it. The exact same reason everyone else isn't liking it. this is not what you want it to be.
But I'm not going to cry to Disney or Lucas to throw it out. It is what it is.
And when I went and saw the film, it wasn't what I thought it would be either. But I accept it for what it is. And the more I thought about Luke's arc, I came to accept his arc. And I actually liked his arc. Because in the end, he redeems himself. Giving the Rebellion enough time to survive.
But you know what? More people come to, like, other people that have seen it and we talk about this. You know what everybody seems to have the biggest problem with?
What?
Where she turns the ship around and jumps into light speed. And rips the Emperor, the New Order's major ship.
Why they're hasn't like, anyone done that before?
And they're like, okay, one, it took her 10 minutes and a shitload of transports to get destroyed before she decided to do it. And if that was the case, why didn't they turn one of the other ships that were almost the same size around, like the medical ship and all that, while he still had enough fuel, and jump warp it into hyperspace it into any of those ships?
Well, because they were making sure everyone was
safe. It was half-assed thoughts. It was half-assed thought about it.
I don't know. You had to find someone that would be kamikaze for the Rebellion.
And then my cousin pointed out that they made a fact that they had cloaking devices on all the transport ships, and that's why, unless they could visually see, if they can't visually see it, they didn't know that they were there, mm-hmm. so that they could go and sneak away, and they were out of sight and stuff, mm-hmm. and that's why whenever they were all launching those ships, the big ship couldn't pick them up because they had all cloaking devices. Well, if they had cloaking devices, then why didn't the big ass ship had that cloaking device, and when it jumped into hyperspace, it would have thrown the big ship off with their cloaking.
They already had it. It made no sense.
I think that's.
But it made no sense.
I don't know.
It's like, why did not the big ship not have a cloaking device and all the cars? No, but
pretty that's much. Not. I'm really like,
now. Now it's your turn to rebut.
I mean, the whole episode is negative. Like, why are people going to listen to just arguing with each other?
We're not arguing. I'm just pointing out flaws that people have, and then people can disagree.
That's a very silly flaw. Thinking about the cloaking devices on a thing, I don't think that's a flaw in the film.
Mine is Luke and the casino theme. I think the casino scene didn't have to be there. I think it was dumb whenever they freed the animals, and then Finn says,
"Actually, I missed all of that.
What was it worth it?" He asks, "Was it worth it?" Basically, like, I mean, they put the Rebellion in danger by taking off. They could have been there to help do whatever the new plan was or the alternate plan was going to be. But they go there to find this codebreaker. They come up seemingly empty-handed at that point. And he says, "Is it worth it?" And she takes the saddle off of the other animal, like, "Oh, this is PETA. We're going to save the animals." And she says, "Now it's worth it." And I'm like, really? You save a herd of animals, it's worth it. That didn't make any sense to me. And I think Mark will agree with me.
I don't know if I really thought about it as far as the
maybe not that way
plot.
Yeah,
because I get what they were doing, trying to show that the war affects everyone, rich or not rich, and the fact that they were trying to develop Rose's and Finn's character. I just like hated the Star Trek-ish of the scene with these aliens. It kind of almost became prequel like for a moment with these aliens in your face.
Yes,
the whole alien putting the coins in BB-8.
Yeah,
it was just all really silly. And that's that part and one thing I loved about Abrams in his Force Awakens was that the aliens were there, but they were there because they were in the Star Wars universe, and he didn't put anything in your face.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in Rian Johnson's Star Wars, we get aliens in your face again. Like, oh, look at this neat CGI we did, and that just kind of bugged me in the casino scene. And I would have shortened it a little bit. You know, like, the whole... I don't know what I would have done differently. Never had him get arrested. Just had him get there, find Benicio del Toro's character, mm-hmm. and then move the plot from there. It's like this whole thing where they get arrested was just pointless because they break out and 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
You know, and it
was to have that cool scene with those animals.
Just shorten it up a little bit. I didn't have a problem with the space scene at all. The whole sense
Love the space scene.
Trying to escape from the dreadnoughts and stuff. It was supposed to give you a sense of dread. It was almost, it borrowed a lot of ideologies from what Rogue One brought in the Star Wars universe. The idea of war and dealing with it and the situations and the decisions you make. And the fact that they were trying to survive this onslaught with no fuel and find a way out until they got these codes. I really liked that idea. It was so different for a Star Wars movie,
mm-hmm.
to make this dreaded space scene and dealing with Poe and the other characters that are on these ships and what they have to deal with at all costs to survive a war. And I think that's why it works. I think it's a silly argument to say, well, why didn't they do that one of the other ships? Because, one, you're trying to make everyone go safe. Two, you're not going to kamikaze a ship unless it's a last resort. And then what she realized once everyone was safe, Laura Dern's character sacrificed herself to save the rebellion by blasting her ship into... And I thought it was a brilliant scene. I loved it. I thought it was one of the better scenes in any of the Star Wars films.
He did surprise you a lot.
And it worked in so many ways to cause the First Order to stop at that moment because they're in chaos now. In the midst of Rey and Kylo being on the ship and battling Snoke and all that. And I thought that I thought it was really good, the whole sense of rebellion. I think you're overthinking it way too much if you think, well, why did they do it sooner? If that's not what they would have done. They were trying to get everyone to safety first.
Okay, but real quick, they could have done that. While they still had enough fuel, they could have taken one of the bigger ships, done that, and while that ship was light speeding into the warp jumping into the big ship, the rest of them could have jumped away. And they would have been more focused on dealing with the aftermath than they would have been chasing after the rebels.
You know what they could have done? Luke could have been building his own Death Star on his own planet.
Do that in war. They had limited supplies. They weren't just going to blast a ship into it. They're trying to escape with their lives.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Blasting the ship in it was a last resort.
Yeah, but they still knew they were going to lose every ship due to fuel situation. Yeah, they did. They knew they were going to run out of fuel.
I kind of like that whole scene. That's why they kept
moving. Moving people from one ship to the next ship.
For help to the other cells. They didn't know that they weren't going to survive that. No, they didn't know. They were trying to get out of there and survive as long as they could.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they moved everyone on board the big ship.
And I liked Poe's mutiny. I like that whole thing.
I did too.
Yeah.
See, that's the parts that I did. I like the Poe parts. Like the whole movie, mm-hmm. I like the Poe character more than I like
stuff up.
Like, yeah, I mean, I thought he was okay in the first one. In this one, he made the movie for me. I almost want just a Poe movie, you know.
So back to Luke's arc. Regardless of whether you think it was your Luke or not, it is the story we got, and it is the essence of this film. When he decides to show up on Crait. And at this point, we didn't know it was a holographic projection.
As a mind.
Or a force projection, I should say.
Right.
We thought that Luke was there. And the moment with Leia is sweet. The moment that he walks out there to confront Kylo and all that. To me, that simple scene alone makes the entire arc work. Whether you agree with the arc or not. Because once you realize that he projected himself and that he gave up his life to save his sister... And to save Rey and the rest of the resistance, that it makes up for any lack of whether you agree with his arc or not. And how can you not argue with that?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, he's looking up to the twin sons like when his home planet on Tatooine, and he has found peace and serenity.
And then he became one with the Force.
As he moves on. And that, to me, makes up for any lack of whether you agree with being a grumpy old man or not. And that's why, as I'm watching the film, I didn't like his arc at first. But when it all came together like that, I thought, wow, that's perfect. And it really is. Just because we didn't get the moment that everyone wanted where he comes back with his green lightsaber and kicks some ass because we thought we were going to get after
I didn't even care about that part. Doesn't mean it doesn't make
his arc good.
I would have... This is nitpicky because it's the same result either way. I would have loved for him to show up for a showdown with Kylo Ren at the end. And then instead of him astral projecting or force projecting himself, he raises his lightsaber... And he says, if you strike me down, I'll be with you always.
But then someone's going to say he did the J.J. Abrams thing and played it safe and gave you the same movie.
Maybe so. But I would have loved to see him go down as his former mentor.
Well, here's the thing. Like, at first, it didn't click to me, like, when he showed up and was talking to his sister on the planet.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, for one, how did he get there? His X-Wing has been at the bottom of the ocean for quite some time, so it's probably destroyed. Probably won't even work, unlike when it just got temporarily sunk.
Yeah.
You know, in Empire. So then I'm watching a little bit more, and when he blasts, and I'm like, okay, Jedi's can create a field and block that. That's cool and everything. But then when they're fighting, and he moves his foot, and he kind of like gives a little bit of a look, and I'm like, he ain't even there.
Because of the sand.
Because of the salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they even made a point whenever the guy's like stepping out with the binoculars to look, and the guy's like, and you see his red footprint from moving the salt, and the guy's like, oh, it's salt and everything. And then you see Luke move his foot, and there's like no movement of the salt.
Wasn't that the director of Rogue One that was right there?
I don't know.
That was a cameo of the director of Rogue One that was in that movie.
Maybe.
That was one of them.
But like once Luke moved his foot, I realized that Luke wasn't there.
Jason Gordon-Levitt, you know, lent his voice talent. Both the princes were in there from UK. They cut their cameos, yeah.
Yeah. But
I don't care about cameos in Star Wars. He's like, whatever.
Prince Harry.
I thought they were stormtroopers.
They were stormtroopers. They cut the footage, though.
Why?
Because
this didn't fit the scene.
You can't photo.
Maybe they'll put it back in that European edition.
If I'm not mistaken, this is the first Star Wars movie where not one stormtrooper shoots a weapon.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I remember a stormtrooper shooting a weapon at all in this film.
What, they didn't shoot on the ship whenever they were fighting BB-8 and...
That might be the only time.
That's where they were fighting. Yeah. I mean, people are like, oh, they didn't shoot. There was plenty of shooting going on the ship. BB-8 was going around blasting him. They were shooting at him.
Think it was the last of Captain Phasma, or she'll find a way to fight another day.
Dude, I will be very disappointed if Captain Phasma and Snoke do not somehow find a way back.
Gone. No, he's not.
I think he's
gone. He's a clone. That's why he looks like he is.
He's a clone.
No, that's why they killed him the way they did. That's why they killed him just abruptly like they did.
It's the sixth day.
Yeah, but no, because there are clones. And he's probably cloned himself. And that's probably why he looks like it, because the more you clone something, the more deteriorated it gets. I mean, they're bringing... It's like old canon. I mean, old thrown-out stuff.
Oh, the Kaminos.
There was a Jedi that turned bad because he kept cloning himself. And that's what I think. I think he's going to show up in the next one, and they're going to be like, I thought he was dead. But then that's when you find out his backstory. Because everybody complained. Oh, please. Then people are going to cry even more. They're already crying because you knew nothing about him.
Boba Fett's backstory, and look how badass he became over the years.
That's true.
But then they gave him a backstory.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know him as a kid.
Yeah. As the droids.
We know him as... Yeah. I mean, there's like stories about Boba Fett.
When he met the droids in this holiday special.
That's right.
But my point is, we don't know that much about Boba Fett. Other than he was a clone.
The clone.
You know, I'm okay with us not knowing who Snoke is.
I think he'll return as a clone. He's a clone.
Because.
And that's why he looks the way he looks, because of the deterioration of their physical.
Didn't bring up Snoke's ring. Snoke's ring apparently is, the black is made out of the obsidian or the cave mineral that is underneath Vader's palace, and then the gold that's in it is taken from. Darth Sidious's office. I've read
that, but where is that confirmed at?
It's not confirmed other than...
And as far as what's her name returning, there is a possibility because I forget, but her armor is made out of some kind of special metal compared to the other stormtroopers.
Her armor confirmed in the book, named Phasma, is made out of Darth Sidious's yacht.
Right.
It's so crafted out of it.
There's a possibility that she could survive because you should see her falling through fire. She could have survived that.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll probably have a burn to her face where it got cracked. But as far as just getting burned up, I don't know.
Since the whole episode's pretty much been negative anyways.
It's not negative.
We're just going to go ahead and go more negative, because I know Frank hated this part of the movie.
What?
And if Rey is just a regular person, is that a problem?
There's no way. Because in Disney Infinity,
I'll just quit caring.
Kylo Ren said, we meet again, cousin.
Disney Infinity, really?
Yes, Disney. Disney, Mark.
That was never confirmed.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
he doesn't say
cousin.
In fact, the YouTube, there are people that made YouTube videos really, talking about it.
That could dub it.
Well, hold on. People made YouTube videos talking about it, and they were forced to take those videos down by Disney.
I don't think that means anything.
Oh, it means something.
Like this.
Well, there's smoke, there's fire. And there was smoke.
But I'm okay with her just being a regular person. And the whole thing at the end of the film with the little boy uses the broom proves that she can be a regular person. There can be other
point of this was that we were following the Skywalker storyline.
Kylo's a Skywalker. We technically still are.
That's true.
Who said we're following Skywalker storyline? George Lucas? He's the one
Okay, because I'll be honest with you. I don't like Kyle. He's boring. He's another whiny Skywalker like his grandfather before him.
What does it do?
The Skywalkers are whiners.
After this movie, I like him more. I think he came onto his own.
Really?
Kylo?
Yeah.
But they're whiners. They throw tantrums.
By killing Snoke and doing what he did, I think he's now the bad guy that they needed him to be. I don't think that he's whiny. He's got a little... But he's whiny, has a tantrum because he's undecisive on where he wants to go.
And he's a Skywalker.
He's got a little bit of rage against him. But, But so Rey doesn't have to be a Skywalker. Technically, it's still about the Skywalker.
Yeah, I could care less about her character anyway.
I like the fact that she could be just anybody. I like that. And that she's drawn into this great battle and war because of it, you know?
She means nothing to me.
And we already know from the last episode that you hated all the new characters. You're like in the very
but
small...
But I like Poe now.
You're the small 1%.
You like Poe. He likes Poe.
I like Poe now.
You're the small 1% of the entire
I'm a Poe fan.
Fans that doesn't like the new characters.
I'm a Poe fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Poe fan.
He wants to make a cast out of Poe's ass, and he wants to make it into a bird feeder so the birds can drink water out of it. He said it'll be an masterpiece.
Poe feeder.
A Poe feeder.
That sounds like something that Frank would do.
That Matt would actually may come up with. Oh, he did.
But overall, though, I think that The Last Jedi is a solid Star Wars film.
Something I need
to see a couple of times to really take it all in. I know a lot of you will felt The Force Awakens was just a rehash of A New Hope, and yeah, I get it in some ways it is, but
yeah,
but I like The Force Awakens a lot. I enjoy it. I don't know where I'd put this movie right now among Star Wars films. I think I need to see it. It's still kind of on the outside looking in. I may be seeing it again tomorrow. I need to see it again or a couple times to take it all in, because it is so different. It adds a lot to the Star Wars mythology.
Yeah.
The Leia scene's a little weird, but I'm okay with it, because you figure in 30 years she learned some tricks in the Force. You know, we can't imagine. We don't know when exactly the whole thing with Kylo happened. We figure he was probably just a few years before The Force Awakens, so he had to be 15, 17 years old.
Yeah,
that's 17 years. Luke was around his sister. He could have taught her some things.
But it's
even
also
in the
natural
canon.
In their bloodline. It's just natural in their bloodline.
Even in their old canon. That she used the Force to turn him back from the dark side. And even in the trailer, he said, my sister has it.
Yeah, and they're Skywalkers. It's just,
yeah,
it flows through them like it did their dad. I mean, it just didn't stop.
Well, I think it's weird that it can save your oxygen like that.
I know Mark won't agree with this comment, but I was over at my cousin's house for Christmas, and my cousin looks to me, he saw the movie, he goes, well, it makes me appreciate the prequels now.
Ouch.
I don't think any of the prequels are
better than this movie.
None of the prequels are better than any Star Wars movie that's ever been made. The prequels are all the Star Wars movies.
I knew Mark was going to say that.
I took flack from my brother-in-law just because I said Phantom Menace is better than Attack of the Clones, because it is.
I saw that.
Attack of the Clones is the worst Star Wars movie made. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's very forced. I agree with you. Watching it again, it's like the romance is very forced.
It's an awful film.
But have you ever watched the deleted scenes? They cut so many deleted scenes. There's so many deleted scenes that had to do with the romance. So, like, you almost have to go back and watch the deleted scenes to see where the romance was.
I don't think I could take more of Hayden's wooden acting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, you have to watch the deleted scenes to actually see the romance that was cut out. It's almost like it's a separate side story to itself.
I almost wish they would have brought Hayden Christensen back as a Force ghost in this last movie.
No, Last Jedi is better than the prequels. It's, I don't know where it stands right now. It's going to take a couple of viewings, I think. And I think it's also something that we see where it goes in Episode 9 and how this plays out. And maybe we'll appreciate it better, because a lot of people didn't like Empire Strikes Back when it came out back in 1980.
That's true.
A lot of people didn't like it. They didn't like, you know, how Vader's father. They didn't like the way it ended darkly, and you know, and then it all played out in Return of the Jedi. So, you know, this could be looked at differently too in a couple of years.
I like Mark Hamilton's interviews about like
Hamilton.
How, yeah, Hamilton. Yeah, whatever his name is. I've had like three beers.
Whatever his name is, what?
The heck? Anyway. Disrespect to the Jedi Master.
But anyway, his like. Think like how he had to keep it secret, and when he found out that
when he found it, they're like, you're the only one that knows this, but Vader,
there's
is
only
your
three
father.
Of us that know it,
yeah,
so if it gets out, we know it's you.
he's like I knew not to tell Carrie
because she tells everybody.
So Star Wars The Last Jedi in theaters now. If you haven't seen it though, go see it.
Yeah, go see it. And form your own.
I can quote our host here, as a movie, I like it, but as a Star Wars fan, I have my reserves about it. But as a movie, it is. If I never saw a Star Wars movie and I walked in, I saw this movie, I'd say it was great. It's a great movie.
But again, as a Star Wars fan, we are only reserved about it because of everything we've been told before.
That's right.
Everything we've grown up with, from books to comics to video games to cartoons, that
Luke is a savior to us. You know, Luke is a savior to us.
Unfortunately, it's the way it went.
Yeah.
But Luke's still a savior. He saved the rebellion.
He did. This movie. And Poe even said it. He's buying us time so we can get out.
I think if I had to rank the film immediately, I would probably put it fourth.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think I still like...
Put it fifth.
I think I like Force Awakens better.
I think I still would go Empire.
Are we talking about Star Wars movies in general or just...
Overall Star Wars movies. I would go
Empire. The first three, Rogue One?
Right now, I would say Empire, Star Wars, Rogue One, Force Awakens, Last Jedi. So maybe fifth right now.
So you didn't like Return of the Jedi at all?
I like Return of the Jedi, but I don't think...
So you thought those others were better than Return of the Jedi?
It's a little drawn out. Return of the Jedi is a little drawn out.
The more I watch Rogue One, the more I like it.
Yeah.
Empire is way better. And there's no movies better than Empire. Empire is the best Star Wars movie.
In fact, everyone's either like, it's the Empire Strikes Back of sequels, or it's the Terminator 2 of sequels.
Jedi is very... It's dragged out. And it's got a weak middle of the film.
And Harrison didn't even want to do it.
I think the beginning was dragged out.
I kind of like the beginning. Yeah, beginning's the best part.
Yeah.
Ooh, no, I mean, I liked it. It just took a long time. It just like was like, what, the first half hour of the film?
So it was too long for you to be pleasurable.
But as far as showdowns go.
And we move on.
Return of the Jedi
from Matt.
Might have the best showdown.
Yes, absolutely.
Because this is our final episode of our current format. We're going to talk about final showdowns
in movies and stuff. Return of the Jedi had the best showdown?
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir.
You think so?
Yeah, it was better than your Bruce Lee Chuck. No, you know what? I'm not going to jump ahead. I don't want to be frank and jump ahead.
So, movies, you know, you go and you see a film or like Braveheart or something like that, and you're waiting for that dramatic showdown against armies at the end of a film. Or you go see Lord of the Rings and you're waiting for this giant battle at the end of the film. And there's showdowns in a film are a very important part of action movies or genres or sci-fi films or battles or boxing movies, baseball movies. Sports films are great for showdowns to a sense because when people think of the word showdown, it's not necessarily two people fighting and duking it out or two armies. A showdown is an epic moment that brings a film all together in some way.
Yep.
As we bring the entire first 80 episodes of the Rebel Radio podcast into a showdown right here, because Matt and Frank are going to fight on audio.
Yes. we're gonna beatbox fight.
So we didn't really do this like
lists. You have no bass. Like,
we've done a lot of lists over the 80 episodes of Rebel Radio. And if people miss lists, we may try to find some way to incorporate lists in a new format. We'll see. But, you know, but we've never done, but this, instead of a list, I just told you guys to text me what y'all thought y'all's favorite showdowns were, just to get an idea where y'all were thinking. Of course, Matt took the easy route out like I knew he would.
What? I didn't catch all of his.
He picked three simple 101 fights. I'm like, Matt, you're not thinking epic enough.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you got to go epic with this. And
but what do you consider epic? Like what's like epic to you?
Captain like, Underpants versus no, hang on. Poopy Pants?
Like epic.
Oh. I'm serious.
It's serious.
I'm on Mars.
Where things are all on the line, or it brings down a final moment between characters or factions or whoever's fighting.
But and not just the way it makes you feel when you're watching it at the time?
That's part of it, too.
Okay, because that's what motivated my selections, how I felt when watching it, and Matt, the reasons why I liked
it. Matt texted me exactly what I knew he would. Matt texted me T-1000 versus T-800.
But that wasn't really a...
And that's my point. I told Matt, if you watch Terminator 2, the climax of the film is essentially in the Skynet building when they destroy the equipment. And then T-1000 chases them to the factory. But there's no real showdown. It's just a chase. And they happen to get lucky and are able to put him in the lava at the end by blasting with a shotgun blast. But there's no real showdown to it.
That's true.
T-1000, T-800 like hardly big ever battle. Go 101 in that film. You know, it's all, the whole Terminator 2 is an entire... 2-hour chase movie, and it's a great chase movie, but there's no real face-off in the film. There's no showdown. One thing that I like, one of my favorite showdowns of all time, is the original Rocky film. And yes, it's a one-on-one battle, but you have this build-up of these characters, and you can argue that it's Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 in the rematch, and that you're all in the whole film builds to that moment. when him and Rocky finally take to the ring, or mm-hmm. Rocky and Creed do, and then they go toe to toe, fist to fist as they fight, and it's all about this underdog, and it's so awesome. And then he gets his rematch in part two, and he wins, and that to me is like that's an epic showdown in the film, because it had this whole buildup, and I think it works better maybe in part two. Because he already lost to him in the first film, but he won his appreciation. In the second one, he gets a chance to fight him for the title, and he wins again.
And they actually become friends.
And that, to me, was a perfect example of what I consider an epic showdown in a film. Because there's a lot of great films with great fights. I mean, if we did a great list of great fights in movies, there's hundreds of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen scene in The Raid 2 is arguably one of the greatest fights I've ever seen on screen. You know, but is it a showdown to a movie? Does it have the epic build that builds it up to where you're like, yeah, you're jumping off your seat. You're like, oh, get him, you know, or you're like on the edge of your seat. Hence, like at the end of Lord of the Rings, but the Lord of the Rings trilogy is full of showdowns. I mean, there's three or four battles in those films that can be put on
each film has three or four battles in each film.
It's like Aragorn versus the orcs in the Fellowship of the Ring. Whenever he, the orc just brings his sword in and he's like, ah.
Well, see,
and
for
then
me,
he pulls it out and chops his head off.
It's one of my awesome. Pick, my third pick, was Megatron versus Optimus Prime, and the reason why it was to me is because it was more of an emotional battle, because it was always this thing between them and the series, and then here you have a movie, the animated movie, and when you're a kid, and you're like, they actually fight, and they're brawling it out. And Megatron kills Optimus. Spoiler alert. As a kid, you cried. You cried. Your heroes. No. Your heroes don't die. They fight. They get up. They run away. But the bad guys. Nobody died in the cartoons. And here it is, Megatron. One of your favorite characters, the leader of the Autobots, died. And it was a fight, and somebody died, and you're just like, as a kid, and it changed. Him dying literally changed the landscape of the Transformers at the time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a fight. It was a death that changed everything. It wasn't just a face-off, you know, and that's why I put it in my list of, you know, of that.
Matt, what's one of your favorite showdowns in movie history?
I'm going to go with my reconfiguration whenever I chose Gondor plus allies versus the Orcs of Mordor. That was good. Because it's like
In Return of the King. Which, again, that's a film that almost has two climaxes, because you have the battle at the White City.
Yes.
And then once they win that battle, they all march on to Mordor. For the battle at the gates, mm-hmm. you know, where the thing with the mouth comes out.
The mouth of Sauron.
Yeah. So go on.
Yes, and he cuts off the head of the mouth of Sauron, and he says, he's like, there will be a day when men fail, but it is not this day. This day we fight, men of the West! And he raises a sword, and you're like all inspired, and you're like, I want to go punch things when I get home. But it's an awesome fight, you know. Even though I think you could argue that another, you know, awesome fight is, you know, Frodo versus, you know, the will of Sauron. Maybe.
I thought you meant the spider.
Or the spider. Well, Sam fought the spider.
Yeah, the spider scene.
Frodo took it like a. He took it like a corpse.
The two towers, the Battle of Helm's Deep was.
Oh yes.
Is something else too. That's actually my favorite battle in the trilogy. I like the Battle of Helm's Deep.
So it begins.
And then the elves arrive to help, and it's like, well, that's a miracle.
Let's admit, we just like the Lord of the Rings movies. They were pretty damn good.
Another great showdown in film history, and I would have picked the Lord of the Rings battle to save Middle Earth. Also, as one of them is, and then. Yes, Luke Skywalker versus Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi is a bigger showdown. Here's why. Because Empire is only huge because you know the result. He reveals he's his father. But if you watch that film in context without knowing the result, it's not as huge of a showdown, because he essentially faces Vader reluctantly in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Where in Return of the Jedi, he purposely seeks him out to either save him or to kill him if he has to, if he can't turn Vader. Now, with a little push from the Emperor, he helps him that he has to fight him. But there's so much on the line on that, with the way the scene is played out by the director, the way the music plays as he's going toe-to-toe with his father, mm-hmm. the green and red sabers are clashing. And then when he throws the lightsaber down at the end, and I'm a Jedi like my father before me. That is probably the most epic showdown in any of the Star Wars films so far. Will we get a bigger one with the end of the sequel trilogy? Who knows? I don't know at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with that. Mine was also a Star Wars pick. Mine was, you know, Darth Maul versus Anakin and Obi-Wan. And the only reason why is that is because we went so long without a Star Wars movie. And when they fought, that Ray was like
Park.
One of the biggest lightsaber fights on screen. You know, we gone with such a drought, and it was really cool.
They broke 25 lightsabers.
But it got your blood pumping for the series again.
And that's the thing.
Not knowing how it was going to turn out, it got you excited all over again for Star Wars.
And with that scene, I agree, it's cool. That's also my problem with the scene, is it's so choreographed. It's like,
they have
hey,
to.
Liam Neeson, you jump here. Ewan McGregor, you jump here. Hey, I'm Ray Park. I'm going to jump here.
and do a spin kick over there.
It's yeah. so polished that it... I loved it when I saw it in theaters in 99.
Oh,
but that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. It got you...
But
got
I,
it pumped.
I watch it now. I'm like... Oh, and I kind of like the messiness of Kylo and Rey and the way they fight.
Yeah.
It's more old school, like, hey, we're not sure what we're doing with these things. We're going to swing them around.
No, I'm not...
And I like that.
I like the battle they had in this new one. I actually enjoyed it because it was that there was awkwardness.
Oh, we didn't talk about that in The Last Jedi, though. But the last
that was pretty
was
cool.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
I thought so. And they had that awkwardness of, like, not doing a lot of lightsaber fighting. It wasn't like... You people think, like, oh, Kyle's supposed to be, like, this...
Who's Kyle?
Kylo.
Hey, Kylo is supposed to be this... You know, the right-hand man and everything, so he should know all this shit. But no, he hadn't gotten a lot of training, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not a expert lightsaber fighter kind of guy. He still has that awkwardness of knowing where to strike and where to move, and he didn't use a lot of the Force because he hasn't been trained to use the Force while he's fighting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of all of that. Whereas, like, a Vader, after being Anakin for so long, would, like, grab a guy with the Force and then slice another guy with a lightsaber, then throw his lightsaber and take out 20 people if he had to. Whereas they're, like, at that beginning stage of learning, still learning how to fight with the Force and lightsabers. So they were a little awkward.
So
they couldn't take out three or four guys with one strike.
So both of y'all on y'all's list that y'all texted had Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
High
dude.
Five.
Game of Death.
You really think that's better than Bruce first saw the fighters at the end of Enter the Dragon?
Yeah. No, yes, because had the
magnitude
guys.
The magnitude.
The tattoo guys.
He's at the top of the tower.
Dude.
He's at the top of the tower in the Game of Death.
No, I know. I've seen the film. I just, like...
As Chuck told us, he was number one.
Number one.
But he had to die.
He had to die.
I mean, I'll give it to you. I just... Matt's gonna fall off the porch.
I'm gonna laugh too.
I don't know, man. As far as the epic fight scene, though, I don't know if the battle at the end of Enter the Dragon might be bigger because of just the odds.
Well, and the mystery with the mirrors turning, yeah. And he's like, "What the fuck?"
I think the fight against the guy with the claws ends up being weak.
Oh yeah,
but the initial build up to it is so huge. You know?
Yeah, with the tits and the hookers.
That's all I remember. Claws, tits, and hooker.
Yes.
It's harder to get bigger than Chuck versus Bruce at that era.
Yeah.
In the 1970s. You know, the like, in today's equivalent would have been if we ever had a proper movie where Arnold fought Sylvester, you know, back if they did.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Like, if Arnold was a boxer, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
If they did it in
the 90s, Austrian.
You know,
would he also be like, I'll crush you.
Another great showdown. Arnold's had a couple of them, if we want to talk about Arnold.
Yeah.
Arnold versus all the mercenaries in Commando.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about all the Santas in Jingle All the Way.
Oh, the moms and dads in Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
That's what I thought he was going for.
Arnold versus Predator.
Yeah, I mean, Arnold versus Predator.
Bars none. A kick-ass showdown.
Running Man versus all the gladiators. I hope you left enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it in your stomach. It'll fetch your goddamn spine.
Running Man kind of sucks.
It's the best quote, though.
Actually liked Running Man.
Yeah.
Didn't they do a remake or a sequel?
No, low budget
shit, something?
No, people just started doing Running Man videos.
Guys running. Yeah. Just running.
Here's another one that, a lot like Rocky and Creed, had a lot of build-up to it. And it had build-up because we're briefly introduced to them at the beginning of Superman, the movie. And then Superman 2, we finally get Superman versus Zod and his henchmen against Ursula, I think it was her name. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And the grunt guy goes, and that scene today, there's a lot of comic movies that come out. Obviously, we talk about them on the show. We report on them on TrustMeTheJedi.com. The scene in New York City, or Metropolis, I guess, even though it looks like New York City,
yeah,
that's spelled, in Superman 2 is still one of my favorite end battles of all time in any film, where he's fighting them in the city, and Superman's trying so hard to save him, he throws Zod to the Coke sign and all that.
Yeah.
The bus. It's excellently
filmed. He stops things from crushing people.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a great scene and a great showdown.
And then he tricks him at the end. He knew Lex Luthor was going to betray him.
Yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, we never got the proper Richard Donner version, and some of that stuff was shot by the other guy. And then we have the Richard Donner cut that has some of the Donner stuff in it. Like Donner, the whole thing where he takes the Superman emblem off of his chest and throws it at him, that's not the Donner cut. Because Donner never would have done that. That was silly.
Yeah.
But just a great, great films there. And and if anyone remembers this, our first double feature that we'll be doing probably will be Superman and Superman 2 on the new podcast.
Probably.
We're going to talk about in a minute what we mean by double feature. So any other great showdowns? We fail.
We blew our load.
You know what could have been a great one, and it obviously puttered out, was it all this build up over three films between Neo and Agent Smith.
Yes.
And then we get to the third one, and we're like, they're just flying around in buildings and smashing each other. It's really weak.
Yes.
It looks cool, I guess. But man, Matrix Revolutions was such a letdown. I mean, Reloaded wasn't great, but it was okay. It's still, you were like ready for part three. Then part three came out, and it's just like 2 hours of nothing, it was just such a letdown of a trilogy.
What about Thomas Jane versus the Russian?
The Punisher?
Yeah.
No one remembers that movie.
Yeah.
Everyone's moved on to John Bernthal now. Everyone's moved on.
Thomas Jane is the best Punisher.
I don't know.
I love Dirty Laundry.
No. Sure,
that's not official, though.
Dolph Lundgren was.
I don't know.
He was the best bad Punisher.
I'm really digging Bernthal in the role. I
don't know, man. I just think that he's like, I'm a better construction worker than you.
Oh, Lord, here you go again.
I can grow a better beard than you.
No, I don't know. I think it's
other guy in hiding.
I think Bernthal's really owned it. I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, he is. He looks like a military guy too. I mean, he does a good job of being like, I can be a better killer than you.
And the torment that he deals with.
His wife every day.
My one beef with the show is it is a little too melodramatic, not enough Punisher-matic,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
There's a lot of story.
It's just like, how many times does he have to go visit Micro's wife, and how many times does he have to go visit...
He's trying to get some.
He's going to be like...
the ex-military
guys.
He's going to
punish something.
Yeah.
And I've only got four left. I'm on episode 10 now, and it's finally...
Okay, I'm only five in, so leave it...
It finally got to episode 8, where it really picks up and starts getting better. And that was my biggest problem, is the first 6 or 7 episodes are just a lot of wasted time in the show, unfortunately. I do think it's probably the second best show they may have done. I think Daredevil's still the best.
Yeah.
But this is pretty good.
I put Defenders as number 3. I like them all together.
Because I watched all Defenders.
It's mainly Daredevil. It's mainly a Daredevil storyline.
Oh, what are you doing, Frank?
I have to stand up and get leg cramped and sitting here too damn long.
Oh, my knee.
And I got to take a piss.
People in that show didn't need to know that.
I forgot to take my blood pressure medication.
We're almost done.
Well, I'm mainly just standing up.
Well, then you're too far from the microphone.
Yeah, now you're too far.
Hover over Matt.
You hover over me like a poop.
We can't take this old guy anywhere.
No, man.
Talking to the mic.
What the heck, dude?
Bladder. I got a little tiny girl's bladder.
That's why I
forgot my dentures at home.
In my truck.
A pecan.
Yeah, a pecan.
Yeah.
So, So that's all. You know, it's been kind of slow lately.
Yeah.
We did get a new trailer for Ready Player One.
Yes.
That looks excellent.
Actually, made me really interested in it now.
Yeah.
It's probably real quick before, just off the top of your head, before we talk about the new version of the podcast. What are three movies you're looking forward to the most in 2018?
Avengers, Ready Player One, and Black Panther.
See, I would say Black Panther, Ready Player One, and the Han Solo film.
Really? Over Avengers?
I'm you know how I feel about Marvel films. I know what's going to happen in this film. It's going to be, they're all going to come together, going to have a little fight at the end. It's going to be
Captain America's going to die.
Maybe he doesn't.
He, but technically he's the Nomad right now.
But he's been on set for Avengers 4, so I doubt he does.
Oh, damn.
So, that's just like, I don't know. Black Panther I'm looking forward to just because it looks awesome as hell.
Yeah.
But Avengers Infinity War, don't get me wrong, I'm going to go see it, but I'm just like, I just, no, the first two Avenger films have not wowed me like everyone else. So I'm just feeling like this one might be the same again. I mean, it could be good, it might not. I mean, I do like the fact, I'm glad it's not Whedon. I'm glad it's the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
You know, so that's some faith in it. Now it's Spider-Man, which makes it cool. There's probably a movie in 2018 I'm not remembering at the moment. I mean, Aquaman's coming out later next year. But, you know, we'll see. That could be cool. Nothing else next in December since...
Yeah.
Well, the animated Spider-Man film, that looks badass.
Okay.
Into the Spider-Verse. We talked about that in the last episode.
With the multiple spiders, yeah. Like, it, just like they, that one episode
of... that in a cartoon series?
Yeah, they did. They talked about the multiple universes of different Spider-Man.
I remember there being a whole cartoon series about that.
Yep.
Well, it was like a little... few episodes of part of Spider-Man.
Where Madame Web influenced all of them meeting together.
Yeah.
That looks cool, though.
You had the rich version of Peter Parker who had the armor Spider-Man suit.
Into the Spider-Verse. That's what they're calling the animated Spider-Man. That looks really neat, though.
That's cool.
But I'm excited for Ready Player One because I read the book and the movie looks really fun. So, again, I might hear some car noises. We decided to record outside. I don't know. Something different.
Sounded like a good idea.
At the time.
So, will you hear us next? I haven't decided if we're going to call it episode one, or just call it the name, or no episode number, or just be the title of the movie that we're doing. And we're going to go ahead and tell you the movie. We're going to reformat the show where we're going to talk a movie each episode, and not necessarily break down the movie, but maybe look at the movie in certain ways and talk about different things of it. And each movie we do on the new show will be picked by one of us. And we hope to get listener involvement at some point. Maybe have you guys pick a film you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
We're still going to have our news briefs at the end of each episode. We're still going to have our funny banter. And we're going to have Frank making awkward penis jokes. And and we're going to have more in this new format. And we also will continue to have Download This, which is a segment we had been doing on the show, which we hadn't done the last couple. We will have that on the new format of the show, and we hope to kick it off in a couple of weeks with Batman 1989 as our first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to watch Batman in the meantime to get ready for it, do so, because that's going to be the first episode we do. And we just feel like we just wanted to bring some new life to the show.
Yeah, make it different.
You know, there's a lot of pop culture podcasts out there where they just talk about their opinions on things, and we just felt like... the show was, I don't know if word is stale was it, but we just feel like we need to breathe some new life into the show to keep ourselves motivated and to keep going with the podcast, because it's we've been grinding at this for almost 3 or 4 years now with 80 episodes. I can't remember how long it's been.
Yeah, with the same format.
I'll go back and look and see when we released the first episode. And we just felt it was time for a change. As the podcast landscape changes some, and you have to change with the times like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to quit doing it, and we're not going to lie. We did think about it. We thought maybe it's just time to quit the show and do something different, but we didn't want to do that because we do enjoy doing it. So we get to hang out with each other and talk movies and stuff.
Right, and one of the things we talked about is making some changes to where it'll make it easier for us to release more episodes.
That's the hopeful plan. 2017 was kind of a busy year.
Yeah.
Children scheduling.
Being born, Hurricane Harvey, scheduling, things like that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully 2018 settles down a little bit more. And we can hopefully get more frequent episodes. And the reason I mentioned a double feature is the whole idea is it's going to be a movie podcast. And every now and then we'll do a double feature, like two movies that go together, like Superman, Superman 2. And we'll talk two movies in one episode. We also will do some, like, just maybe other fun ideas with different episodes. We're going to do all genres. A lot of times right now we talk mostly comics and sci-fi, but we're going to reach out, maybe do a westerns and maybe do an action film.
Some dance movies.
Dance movies.
We probably aren't doing Breaking Two Electric movies.
Oh, that was my double feature.
We probably
almost fell off the porch.
We probably won't do a lot of comedies just because they don't work with what we're doing. So we'll see where we go. We'll do some obscure films, like some cult classics, possibly things like that. It should be fun, and we hope it's fun, and we hope you stick with it. And that should be coming, the first episode of the new volume. Right now, we're just calling Rebel Radio Podcast Volume 2.
Right.
And I don't know, like I said, I don't know how I'm going to start with episode 1, but it doesn't matter. If you're listening to us on your news feed or your podcast feed, you know where to get the show. The feed's not changing. And you can always find us at TrustMeOJ.com. Follow us on Facebook. I would say follow us on Twitter, but our Twitter's fucked up.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make a new Twitter and try to get everybody to move over. Not happy about that. Twitter, you suck my nuts.
Yep.
And, that's it. So that's all we've got today. Thank you for listening to the whole 80 episodes of Volume 1 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This has been...
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Final time, Frank T. Biscuit.
That's right. We're retiring the biscuit, but not the Frank.
Yes.
This has been your host, Mark. Thank you, as always, for listening. The Rebel Radio Podcast at TristanJedi.com. Just go there and do it.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.